Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, here we are. Noah said we're going to be talking about, you know, the earth is being organized, and obviously, you know, we don't have a lot of time to cover it, but I want to begin the conversation now. And I'm talking about there's a rebellion being organized. There's a rebellion being organized, and much of the church is just in darkness. They're just blind. They're just like I talked about in the first hour, just got a big bucket of popcorn in one hand and a big drink in the other, Coke in the other, and just kind of, where's the entertainment at?
Right.
You know, just entertain me. I can't talk anymore about that. Anyway, remember the guy that stood up? Well, you didn't see the guy that stood up. This is the devil coming against this movie playing. It's like, it's the devil everywhere, bro. Let's go. Anyway, so so you know, being a community organizer, you think about you know, in regards to organizing, it's about organizing people. It's about organizing people. And I was watching an interview. I was watching an interview with David Moyer on PBS when Marshall Gantz was being interviewed, and our current president, when you think about, if you could pull up yes we can there, and I want you to hear this, because I'm going to begin to talk about a story, and it's not a political story, it's about where we're going and what's being led. Remember, our president is a community organizer, or was a community organizer. He's a leader now of America, so he obviously needs to organize us. You know, that's what leaders are supposed to do. And I was a community organizer connected with the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing. And I kind of know how that kind of stuff works to some levels. And to hear some of these leaders who in the field of community organizing, one of them was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who organized for a very godly, constitutionally sound, biblically correct movement. I mean, that is the model, by the way. Dr. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr. is the model for all of us to live our life the way he did.
That's right.
And how publicly he did what he did. And we talk about it all the time, and you could find out about it on the VFN Torch. But, and so I'm listening to Bill Moyer interview on PBS, Marshall Gantz. And Marshall Gantz is a longtime organizer, and he's done some historically great things in regards to it. But I didn't know it until I was watching the interview that he was actually part of organizing the president's campaign and all that.
Right.
And so, but he's an organizer. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's sort of like saying, I can't believe that you played for the Saints and you had Saints helping you out. I mean, that's normal. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. It's who you want, somebody who can organize and get some things together. But what is the thought life of an organizer? And where did Yes We Can come from? Because that was a big turning point in what took place. And it was encouraging to hear the words, because everybody's saying, no, it won't work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I love to hear people go, you know, we can take the land.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we can do this.
We can do this. Yes, we can. And that's a powerful thing. It just turned the nation. We begin to say that. But listen, this is, you know, Bill Moyer is asking him the question, you know, where did this come from? And he's talking about it came from, and he's going to speak in Spanish about the same statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started. It started with the farm workers when they were being organized. But listen up, and I want you to hear this, because we're talking about beginning a conversation, beginning to understand what's happening, seeking God's perspective, and then how do we as the church, as Christians who follow Jesus Christ, how should we respond to what's going on? Listen for a moment. This is Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer Today, I believe it is, on PBS, interviewing Marshall Gantz about where did Yes We Can come from?
True that the slogan for Cesar Chavez and his farm workers was "Si se puede."
Si se puede, yeah.
Which translated literally into Obama's
"Yes, we can." Oh, you betcha.
Is that right?
Well, "Si se puede" came in Arizona, 1972. Arizona had a governor, Jack Williams, that passed a law that denied farm workers the right to organize, boycott, strike. I mean, it was a terrible law. And so we had to figure out, were we going to challenge it or not? And so we all went to Arizona to challenge it. We got there, and been out talking to people, and Dolores Huerta actually came back. We were meeting in a motel room. She said, I've been talking to all these everywhere, and everywhere I go, people say, no se puede, no se puede, no se puede. She means, ah, oh, you can't do it, you can't do it. You know, it's just, you know, and we gotta answer that. We gotta say, si se puede. And so that became the slogan of that campaign, was si se puede, yes, it can be done. And that then became a farm worker movement slogan, si se puede. So in New Hampshire, when Obama lost that night, and there were a lot of that talk going on around.
Generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people.
Then he comes out, yes, we can. Well, that's si se puede.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
That was a great moment. That was what sort of raised such hopes about his presidency.
Did people count too much on his charisma and didn't assess his...
Well, that's so important because what we're finding out, I just want to have a conversation here. And so understand, I was a community organizer. The president was a community organizer. Marshall Gantz, community organizer. And I mean, just listening to Marshall talk is just, it's like honey. You know, I mean, he's just so brilliant in his ability to speak. I think he's a graduate of Harvard, I think. And it makes such good sense. And the church has got to begin to start making really good sense. Mm-hmm. You know, give a narrative here. Help me see myself in the context of what you're talking about. And that's what they're really good. A community organizer is good at kind of getting the context and helping people see themselves in the context of that. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that the Farm Workers Union, which was, they were being treated unjustly, unjust laws, and they began to organize, and so it looked like it was all over. You know how that is. You know, people just love to encourage you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, by the way, you're going to die, right, and it's not going to work, and you're going to broke. And it's like, oh, thank you, Judas.
The tent's blowing away.
Yeah, the tent's blowing away. And so, I mean, there's nothing more powerful than, because that's what they're hearing in Spanish, where they're hearing, like, it's not going to work. No, we can't. That's what they're hearing over again in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she says, we just got to start saying, yes, we can. And they just started speaking it out. And so all of a sudden, the rallies during the farm workers movement, they began to say, yes, we can, yes, we can. And they organized, and the law was struck down, and they were able to take down an unjust law. And like Dr. King says, a unjust law is not a law at all, mm-hmm. because the Constitution is about justice for all, right? Right. And so therefore, it's an unjust law is a violation of our very Constitution.
That's right.
And so that's just beautiful. It was in the context of the fishbowl, in the context of the Constitution, mm-hmm. there was an unjust law going on. And I want you to pull up, you know, a movement building so that we understand this. And so when you're organizing, because what I'm talking to you about, this is what I see in my spirit, and all I can do is tell you what God's showing me. That I'm seeing the earth organized. I'm seeing not just America. Listen, we're only 5% of the world's population. And you can see this interview in its entirety on the VFN Torch. It'll be there because I have another segment from Bill Moyer here with Marshall Gantz. And go watch, you know, Bill Moyer's. He's got a lot of programs in this area. But, you know, what is movement building? You know, what really happens in the context of that? And this is where you're going to hear me begin to talk about Sal Lewinsky in regards to, because it looks like that is the operating manual. It's paralleling everything that's going on. So, you know, somebody says, well, that means they're using that as their guideline. No, it just could mean they're hearing from the same dark place that other people are hearing from. You know, you can never know each other, never read the same books, but if you follow the same darkness, if you follow, you know, whoever, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's how things can orchestrate, because they're following the same follower. And so, you're looking at, and we're going to talk about this, and he's going to talk about the polarization, and that's what the radical rules that Lewinsky's book is about, and we're going to talk about it, but how to organize. So when we get back from this break, you're going to hear about, you know, movement building. What is movement building? And I think we're seeing like a prototype. It's happening right in front of our very eyes, and the conversation you're hearing from others, you're going, like, it's not working. It's like, oh, it is like a scientific case for the best way to organize. I'm sensing in my spirit, I'm just going to tell you what I'm sensing in my spirit, that not only is America possibly been organized already, but being organized, but the world's being organized. The world's being organized. And understand this, that we're going to see as we progress through this, that when we organize in the context of the law, in America, for example, under the Constitution, because the First Amendment says that you have a right to petition your government and you can gather and you can organize and do all that kind of stuff. It's great. It's called clubs or whatever, you know, and you can march and it's wonderful. That's what the Republic is about. And, but when we actually organize to go against the Constitution, which is the laws that we live by, our founding documents, and go against God, that's called rebellion. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, we've got to ask the question, is things being organized for righteous reasons, or is it being organized for dark reasons?
Right.
And we're going to unfold that, because we're seeing the Prince of Gog and Magog, President Vladimir Putin, the president of Gog and Magog, Russia. Right. We're seeing these things fulfilled, and we're seeing the embrace of anti-Jesus Christ religions, and we're seeing things shifted and organized. And and how does a movement begin? It's what you're really seeing. This may help you out. So when you start looking at things, realize in the context of what's going on right here, because you're thinking, we're being pushed to the utter ruin. We're being pushed to the brink here. But what Marshall Gans is being interviewed by Bill Moyers talking about in social movements, he's going to talk about Sal Alinsky's model of how it works. And remember, I'm not saying that this is how things are going. I'm not saying how things are going. I'm just saying that this was the person working on his campaign. This is the person he worked with. Mm-hmm. All three of us were community organizers. You know, we didn't work together in the context of that, but I kind of got some sort of drift of what's going on here. And he's going to explain, because I'm going to talk this in detail about Sal Alinsky's rules for radicals, probably more tomorrow as we begin the conversation today. But so you're going to hear now the context of that, because this is what Marshall Gans is saying to Bill Moyer on his PBS show, which you can see in its entirety at pbs.org, or you can go to the VFN Torch, go to vfntv.com, click on the torch, and you can hear this interview. Listen up. He's going to talk about here about movements, you know, social movements in regards to, you know, what movement building, how they're built. Okay.
Marketing proposition. Movement building is, you know that you don't have a majority. What you got to do is build enough of a constituency that you can develop the power you need in order to achieve what you want. And so what you're doing is engaging people who engage other people who engage other people, and you build a movement that way.
Looking back on your life,
you think about it in the context of that. So he says, is when you don't have the power and you don't have the amount of people that, I don't know, the popular, in other words, there's more people that are not for what you want, mm-hmm, than against it, then you begin to build a social movement. You begin to build a movement. Now, listen, there was people for, there's actually more people not for slavery, but they were silent, which was evil. It was evil. Silence in the face of evil is evil.
Right.
But in regards to people that were for it, you know, and being silent really is kind of for it, but just in the context of this argument, understanding the people that were like, hey, I am for this thing, and they really thought that way, that they were fewer than the people who were okay for it never to be again.
Right.
But they were silent. And so a righteous movement was established by the civil rights leaders, you know, the Bill of Civil Rights for Everybody. And led by Dr. King, also led by Marshall Gans here, and began to have a righteous movement about, you know, equal rights for everybody, justice for everybody. Civil rights belong to everybody in the context of that. But they needed to be able to understand that the powers to be were not for what was just and what was right. And so they organized. And the First Amendment says you can do that. And they did it well. And Dr. King did it in the context of, within the context of not only the Constitution, but he did it under the context of God. I mean, he did it so well. I mean, you can read his 10 expectations to be able to walk with him. The 10 mm-hmm. commitments you had to, was basically you had to know Jesus, walk with Jesus, and act like Jesus. And But we're being organized right here. So then that could be a good thing, but also it could be like, hey, you know, there's only five rebellious people here, but they're organizing on us. Okay, now that concept of developing a social movement is not good, because that's just people trying to come against the laws of the land, come against the Constitution, come against God. And so that would be considered rebellion, because rebellion is resistance to any control or any authority. Now, if you're actually, operating within your constitutional rights and in within the Constitution, and you're marching and protesting an unjust law and something that's not just because it's about justice for all in America, then, you know, you're not rebelling. You're just expressing yourself. But if you're wanting to take down the Constitution, you know, you want to kick open the walls on the building, you want to take out the whole fish tank here where the fish spill everywhere, that would be rebellion. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that, and because, and this is why it would be that way, because in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. So in regards to when, if the majority of the people say this is how it should be and this is how it is voted to be, then that's the government of America. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. But when the majority is put aside for the minority aspect of a few people are wanting to take God down, a few people are wanting to take the Ten Commandments down, a few people are wanting God's name off of this, a few people are wanting prayer out of school. And so these are actually rebellious movements coming against the authority of the people of America. Mm-hmm. It's not rebelling against folks in D.C. because those are representatives that we sent there. It's you. You're right. It's what the majority said. And so often the enemy is just remove that argument from you and put it in Washington, D.C. You got 530 people getting blamed for everything in Washington, D.C., and it's 300-something million. Don't realize it's the government. It's your government.
Right, we put them there.
What do you, and you put, and, but it's, this is happening to you. So if there's 10, if there's a 300 million people that don't want something to happen, but, you know, a million people do, then if that million organizes and starts to do what he's talking about, you know, stir that thing up. And we're going to talk about, you know, we're not going to get time for probably to cover the Zelensky rules for radicals, but you can catch it tomorrow. And then that is actually trying to get the majority to rebel against the majority and saying, listen, we want to push our agenda, even though 99% of America doesn't want that. They don't feel like it's the right way to be able to do that, which we don't, if we're not wise to that, then we end up just allowing a few folks that are against God and against the Constitution to remove God from everything and to remove the Constitution from its place. If you remove the Constitution, that's what we're made up of. When you talk about civil rights, that's a bill of civil rights.
Right.
That's where that comes from. It's the amendments to the Constitution. For everybody, which means we all have equal rights in the context of that. So what we're seeing stirred up here, and maybe we'll get a chance, and we'll do it again. But I want you to be able to pull up organizers, how they polarize, and this is going to really make sense because you're seeing everybody polarize. Go ahead and listen to Marshall Gantz here in regards to speaking to Bill Moyer about how organizing works, and you have to polarize people. You have to turn them against each other. You have to get definite dividing lines between the two, and then you got to turn them on each other and realize that's happening in Syria, it's happening in Israel, it's happening in the Middle East, it's happening in America, it's happening with Christians, it's happening between Islam. I mean, this guy, it appears to be doing effective job of organizing the earth right now using these kind of techniques. Listen up to what Marshall talks about, to Bill Moyer, about what organizers do, from Zelensky.
Those of us who wanted to do more about economic justice and immigration and climate change needed to do more. We had to be contentious. That's how it works. It's like this idea that contentiousness is somehow alien to democracy, and that consensus is somehow what democracy is about, and that polarization is bad. Paralysis is bad. But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids, because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that right now.
Oh, yeah, it's always been struggle and conflict and winners and losers that move us forward or backward.
That's the heart of democracy, is a system of contention. I mean, of constructive contention.
And that's so important, constructive contention. But he's quoting Saul Alinsky. And tomorrow, you got to catch us on VFN Radio because we're going to break this down. What does that mean? Because these are the techniques that one of the people that worked with our president as a community organizer and organizing folks, and these techniques are being used today. And listen, these are great techniques if they're in the context of constructive, in the context of the law. But we're looking at the polarization of everything, polarization of marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden it's like everybody's divided on marriage. Everybody's divided on healthcare. Everybody's divided on the Constitution.
Everything.
Everybody's divided on religion. And what's happening is they're polarizing. This is the Saul Alinsky model. And as Christians, you know, whatever the world does, fine. But as Christians, we have to respond to this in a way that Jesus responded to this. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us. VFN Radio taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.